vibration. Energy frequency vibration.
What's going on, world? Welcome to the Universal Frequency number 7. And yeah, man, happy Friday. Hope you are blessed. Your energy remains high. I am blessed for sure. And I am excited about today's discussion, right? We're going to talk about team building. Team building, yeah, man. That could be building teams on the job. That could be building teams for music, for an athlete, for something creative. It could be building teams for an objective that you would like to accomplish. Ultimately, there are some dynamics that I think are important. Some lessons that I've learned along the way, some lessons that I've learned from other people. But yeah, man, it's going to be a good discussion. Shout out to Donkey Bonks TV, who we're powered by. I hope you guys are enjoying your summer, and we're going to get right into it, man. So the first thing I want to express about building a team, right, is that culture eats talent for breakfast. All right. And you may have heard before. It was made popular by Mark Fields, who I believe went on to be a leader for Ford. Culture eats talent. Eats talent for breakfast. Ultimately, it's a quote from Peter Drucker, who's an Austrian author who's written books on business and leadership and just strategy. And I'm honestly ashamed to say that I have not read any of these books yet, but now I'm going to buy one. But I've heard this quote, culture eats talent for breakfast. Or actually, Peter Drucker said culture eats strategy for breakfast. But we're just going to say talent, just to be really specific, right? And this is why. The culture of your company or your team determines how you see things, how you respond, and it sort of guides your activities and guardrails of what you're looking to accomplish, right? If you have a team that has a similar culture, they're going to interpret information in a similar fashion. They're going to have similar values, which I believe are very, very important to team building. And they're going to overall communicate with each other better because there is a cultural fit. It's dope. Now, you could take a team of very talented individuals who are, for their own merits, are brilliant, hardworking, determined. But if they do not align culturally, they will not be as good as they can be. That's a fact, right? I'm not saying they won't be successful. I won't say there won't be moderate wins. But ultimately, having someone or having a team of people that can move in one accord towards a similar mission for the same purpose is how you're going to maximize efficiency. And I say that because I have built teams personally and for work, right? With people that I thought were very talented, but they didn't share the same cultural viewpoints that I did. And when I say cultural, I mean just in terms of energy, strategy, what the mission can be. That alignment is very key for us to work in unison, right? In order for us to be on one accord. In which I believe that the best teams are, right? So for those of you that who are building your team or in refining your team, or you have an ambition to and you have an idea and you're a leader, and you want to do what leaders do and create and implement and put people in position, please remember that they have to view and share some cultural similarities. Now, you don't want yes women, right? Or yes men or yes women, right? You don't want people that are just going to say, and co-sign every single idea that you have because that's not going to make you better. I believe that if you put people around you, you should put people around you to see things that you don't see. I put you in a position to give me a lens of perspective that I may not have in order for optimal efficiency. That's what it should be. But yeah, man, I would just say make sure that the culture is a fit. And you have to state it. Sometimes that requires a mission statement. Sometimes there has to be guiding principles that can be with promoted and withheld. A lot of organizations have guiding principles, right? That even if, regardless of how big they get, the individual sects understand, right, what the mission is, what the organizational goal is, and what the culture should be. That is very, very important. You hear about the culture in sports all the time. They talk about Bill Belichick in the Patriot way and what that culture is, right? And if I'm looking like a hater, I'm not a Patriot fan, but I am a Buck fan, and, you know, salute to the God Tom Brady, right? I can't be a hater. But yeah, man, they talk about the Patriot way and what that means and how they put team first before individual goals. And I don't know what it's like inside that locker room, but what I do know is that Bill Belichick is extremely, he views it as vital that people fit his team culture. And there are some very talented football players, talented wide receivers, that just don't fit Patriot culture that he'll never allow on the team. And okay, actually, I'll take that back. We've actually seen some instances where people were not a cultural fit and they did not fit or produce the way that they should have because they weren't a cultural fit. Right? I think we saw that with Antonio Brown. I mean, off the top of my head, wow, man, I got to get some of my Patriot fans on here to tell me about some of the guys that wouldn't work. But let's give you an example. Terrell Owens, right? Would Terrell Owens be a cultural fit for the Patriots? Who knows? He never played for the Pats. But from what we know about T.O. and his outspoken character and his strong-mindedness, I don't know if he would have succeeded on the Pats, and it's not because he is not talented, because we saw what happened when one of his counterparts, Randy Moss, who's just as talented, maybe a different temperament, went to the Patriots and put up a record season, right? And we're not going to talk about sports a whole lot, but I think that's a great analogy in terms of culture, right? And so if you're going to build a team, my best advice would be, get a list of people that you have in mind and get to know them and build a rapport so you can understand what's important to them. And if it aligns, those are people that you want to be around. But you also want to make sure you have people that challenge you and just don't just don't confirm everything that you want to hear. And that's unique and that's a delicate balance. But if you can strike that, you'll have people that understand what you're trying to accomplish. And as you, as a leader or decision maker or someone being vocal, try to implement things, they'll understand what you're trying to accomplish and still give you feedback that you may not see because they understand the mission. That's what culture is, right? When it comes to team building. Culture means one person could be away from the team for whatever reason, and everyone else knows how they should move and what the purpose is. That alludes to a strong culture. It's real. And it's crazy because there are companies to this day that don't have strong cultures. A lot of sales teams out there have terrible culture and it's toxic. And they're focused on numbers as if numbers can't be manipulated. Or sometimes the production doesn't align with actual profitability, but they're just metrics. So the culture is to drive metrics as opposed to focused on what's profitable. In the banking world, I can tell you that's similar to a bank incentivizing people to open checking accounts, units, as opposed to incentivizing the dollars in the accounts. Ultimately, one $100,000 account is worth more than 10 $100 accounts. But depending on the culture of the bank you may work for, they may align more with widgets. Okay. And if you're going to be effective in that system as a team, as a decision maker or a salesperson, you have to align with that culture. That's just another example. All right. Culture is strategy for breakfast. Culture is talent for breakfast. Now, when you're building a team, right, there's your perspective of someone's talent versus what their perspective is. And you gotta hear me here. So you may have someone around you, and you identify with their talent, and you're a fan of it, and you're like, yo, you're great. You'd be great doing this. You should just do this. And while that person will agree that they're talented and they accept their compliments, they may not see the way their talent should be used in the same manner. I'll give you an example, right? Tall person in basketball, right? If you was tall growing up and you was playing ball, they wanted to make you the big man, wanted to make you the center. That's just what it is, right? But the reality is, what if you were a guard? What if you were just a tall guard? What if you actually are a great passer? What if you were a better shooter than you were down low, but you just happened to be tall? And although someone looked at your physical characteristics and what your talent is, they say, hey, you should be a center. You're like, nah, man, I ain't no center. I'm a guard. Shout out to Anthony Davis, man. I'm a Laker fan, too. Get your ass in the block, bro. I know you grew up being a guard and shit, but like, well, I need you to be a center. Or actually, they got Thomas Bryant, so he's going to be a four. But anyway, back to business, right? But that's a perfect example of how you can see someone, identify with their talent, compliment them for it, but then have a perspective that's different than theirs is regarding their own talent. And if you don't acknowledge or you're not receptive to the fact that they may view their talent should be used in a certain way, they may not give you all the buy-in. And this is not to attack anybody's professionalism, but there's doing something and then there's wanting to do something, right? I only want to put people in position that want to do whatever it is that they want to do, right? If you want to be a cameraman, I want to put you in a position if you want to be the best cameraman that's possible. I don't want to drag you to be a camera person. If I'm around you and you sing and you want to sing, I want you to be the best possible singer. I don't want to have to force you to sing. I want you to believe in your talent and be great at what you do. That's the sort of culture I think builds winning, right? And when you align people with their strengths and what they're passionate about, that's when you get people like really using their emotional capital and their spiritual capital in order to win and to succeed. That's what it takes to build a successful team. So I've worked in fields, right, where I've taken over teams and I never get a chance to hire my own team. I get a chance to develop, maybe fire. Even though I hate to fire people, but sometimes you got to do it. But ultimately, I get to mold the culture of the team. And I've always felt it was better to align people with what they're passionate about. And then when it comes time to develop them, if you're going to develop them, you can form actionable items around things that they're passionate about. And they'll give you buy-in as opposed to you just barking orders at them, right? Now, there's different types of hierarchies of teams. Just keep it funky, right? So sometimes it's a manager with employees. That's what I was just talking about. Having a manager with direct reports, and they're responsible for coaching, development, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you're that type of manager, your number one goal is to align your team with their strengths and build their confidence. If they're good at something, make them great at it, because that's what's going to separate them, right? If you want to be a good manager. Now, not every manager is a good manager. Some managers would just want to be able to hear themselves speak. Some people want to push their agenda, their initiative. And there's nothing wrong with having you as a manager having things you find important or vision in your mind. But what you always have to be receptive of is how that vision is communicated and how it jives with the members of your team. And the great leaders, that's never an issue, right? But there's different types of teams. Sometimes there's a main talent with support. LeBron James, right? If you was friends with LeBron and he was in his inner circle and you knew your man was nice at ball, like he was going to the league, right? He put his friends in position. Rich Paul is a friend of his, right? But I'm pretty sure this wasn't like, yo, hey, Rich, do this. I'm pretty sure Rich had to express some passion and some want to play that role that he's in. And then, you know, LeBron ran with it. And in a sense, it is talent, you know, hiring that person because he's compensating him. But they're more so partners because they share the same vision. They have cultural alignment. So Rich Paul knows what's important to LeBron, even when LeBron's not there. And as he sees opportunities and he sees things that occur, he knows what's going to be important, you know, to the main talent or the head or the leader. LeBron built himself a good team, right? I also say with teams like that, you absolutely have to protect, you know, protect the head honcho. Right, they got to protect Bron. Right, he's the one that opens facilitates opportunities. He's the one that has put them in position to probably change generational wealth. So 48 laws of power, never bite the hand that feeds you. You got to take care of Bron. You got to take care of the leader. Using that analogy, right? Sometimes teams are partners with other partners, right? And you'll find a lot of that where a couple friends sometimes go into business, or you'll get an investment group. But what's going to make that work is alignment in culture, right? Alignment in culture is just one of those things. It's just one of those things where, I don't want to do that just yet. It's just one of those things where it's what you need for optimum efficiency. Straight up. And when you're partners with someone, I'm pretty sure you're going to argue. A good example of that is, you know, what used to be Rockefeller. Hove, Dame, and Biggs. Right? Now, I don't have any inside information. I don't know these niggas. But what we know publicly is that there's obviously some discord. But they once were in alignment to what the mission was for Rockefeller and for Jay-Z's career. Now, partnerships sometimes break up for a lot of different reasons. And it's not always because culture was not aligned. Because I would like to believe that Dame Dash was very much aligned with the culture of Rockefeller, right? Promoting and moving Jay-Z's music, right? If Jay-Z's the talent, they're trying to put Hove on, get the music different places, get different spins, get shows, get revenue from it, right? I'm pretty sure Dame was aligned in how the team saw how the music should be used. It was able to find opportunities, right? But it still didn't work at the end. They still split up. So this is not to say that just because you have a strong culture at some point, that you're always going to have a strong culture or that's enough. Ultimately, like any relationship, you have to have the ability to grow with your team. And that's another one. Right? You have to have the ability to develop at your own personal pace, take on challenges, maybe fail, but succeed more than you fail, and take measurable steps towards what you're passionate about. And that's real, man. And I feel like we don't have these conversations enough, especially as, you know, I'll say alpha males, but there's probably alpha females out there. You know, you get a couple alphas in the room, they start barking at each other, right? Because we're all pushing an agenda. We're not pushing an agenda. We all think we're right for the right reason. It's like, no disrespect, bro, but this is how I see it. And this is what, you know, this is why it has to be this way. You get a couple alphas, they're all going to be steadfast in their position. So you have to have people that know how to acclimate themselves to the greater good. Now, myself, I was always the new kid, right? We moved around like crazy. So I developed the skill set to where I can pretty much take on the personality that my team needs me to take on. Some people may mistake that for like, oh, you know, this is who he is, or this is how he, or this is what he does. But a lot of the times, I'm making an assessment of the room. I'm making an assessment of the people involved, and I'll say, okay, this is where I can fit in. And this is how I'll correspond. And this is the activities I'll do. This is the energy I'll bring. Again, probably because I'm, again, just being real with you, I done had so many different sets of friends from moving that had different personalities, right? So that just required different behaviors, you know? And anyone that's ever moved around a lot will tell you, which is, that's a whole different separate conversation. We're not even going to get into that tonight. But, right, I can take the attitude that my team needs. So if we're talking about, you know, a manager with employees per se, if my team needs structure, I'll give it structure. If it needs support and nurturing, I'll give it support and nurturing. If it needs personality, I will absolutely infuse that. But I cannot make an assumption of what the team needs without getting to know them. And this is the second time I've said that on this podcast tonight. Get to know your team. Right? Really get to know them. Right? And there's a saying that says, when people show you who they are, you have to listen. That's what I'm saying. When I say get to know them, just don't know, you know, preferences, the way I smoke, eat, stuff like that. I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about how people respond to adversity. I'm talking about what gets people up in the morning. I'm talking about how people respond when they're under pressure and how they communicate. Those are the things you have to know about people. And that doesn't happen right off the gate. I'm not saying you just knock on the door like, hey, nigga, I know you can't say that. It's not like that, right? But you just have to be aware. You just have to be aware. I feel like regardless of the team type, having your team coached, developed, and promoted within their role is essential, right? They got to be coached, they got to be developed, and they have to be able to take on more responsibility. If you do that, you will mentally stimulate them in the capacity to where they're going to want to show up, right? And they're going to want to do these things. That's what I think is important. Actually, let me remove the word thing. That's what I know is important in a team, because I've attempted to build teams, won and lost, right? Good teams lose. If we're talking about something competitive, we've seen good teams lose every single year in every NBA finals. You know, some people say the Celtics are a good team. I'm a Laker fan, so I don't think they're that good. But some people say they're a great team, right? And they lost in the finals. We've seen Kobe and Shaq lose in the finals. You know, we've seen LeBron lose in the finals. We've seen the Warriors lose in the finals. Some great teams lose. A 73-9 team loss in the NBA. Now, if we're talking about not a competitive form, but more of setting objectives for performance, a loss depends on how success is measured, right? So it really depends on the objective you set for the team. And that also could be something of cultural significance, because what is the goal? What is the goal? For real. In a music level, it could be an artist that sees himself as an independent, but people around them may want major opportunities, right? Artist doesn't want to sign a deal, wants to be an independent hustler. Team around him wants to look for major labor opportunities. Those two paths are going to clash, right? It could be as simple as even on a sports team. Are we actually trying to win, or are we trying to put up numbers? There are some people, I don't know any athlete's intention, though it appears that some players take winning more seriously than others. Some are there to be compensated because they're getting generational wealth for the family and the children. And that's the most important. And I can't even be mad at you. Right? Having money for your babies and their babies and their babies. Who wouldn't want to do that for in the right way? Right? That's a whole nother conversation, which we will get to on the podcast. But we all have our motivations, but there's some people that want to win for the right reasons. You have to have people on the same page. I even give you a more layman example. Right? Las Vegas. Anyone ever been to Las Vegas? I've been to Las Vegas. When you and your people go to Vegas, male or female, you have to be aligned on what y'all are going to do. I'm not saying y'all have to all do the same thing, but you got to know what the mission is, right? I'll give you an example. Five of y'all go to Vegas. If the goal is to go to Vegas and catch bodies, the whole team has to be down for that, right? Because they're going to do activities that align with that sort of movement. Y'all may go, you may go with your boys, you may meet another group, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't want to be the odd will out, not being a team aligned. Let's just say that. I don't want to get too graphic here. Do you gamble or not, right? You go to Vegas with a bunch of people that gamble and you don't. I mean, yeah, you can go hang out on your own, of course, right? But the team isn't moving in alignment. You have to have similar objectives. If y'all going to get hammered, go get hammered. But you don't want to be the sober person when everyone's going to go get hammered, right? Like, these are little things that you have to be in unison, right? And I feel like the best teams maybe obviously know how to adjust and pivot when necessary, but they share the same mission. Now, I've never been in the military, but I'm pretty sure some of our brothers and sisters in the military could tell you that units have to be in tune with another to have each other's back. That's a highly functioning team, man. And as people grow and develop, they have to be rewarded. They have to be complimented. They have to be incentivized. You got to say, hey, bro, you did a great job here. When it's deserved. And when it's not, you have to have the ability to say, hey, man, we need better. Those are some of the characteristics of great teams, I think. Let me share an article I think is dope. Like, subscribe, share, please. The Universal Frequency. We dropping gems, man. This podcast is beautiful, man. I'm excited about where we're going to go with it. And I hope you leave being a better you. That's the Universal Frequency. All right. Characteristics of a successful team. So this is a blog. Okay. Affirms Micro Technology Services. I'm not really sure about their business, but I think they have some great ideas. And some of these things I've already discussed. So it's good to be confirmed by the universe. Because I promise you, I was just spitting from the head. All right. Number one. They have clear goals and plans. Before jumping right into work, effective teams first set common goals with clear metrics of success. This provides their members with something to aim for collectively and defines how they will be evaluated. That is based on measurable outcomes and not only the number of work hours they render. Afterward, effective teams create plans on how to attain their goals, detailing each individual's contribution and respective deadlines. This allows members to not only understand their own role, but also their fellow team members. Plans are then regularly reviewed during status update meetings to see if the team is on track or if adjustments are needed for goals to be met. This is gospel. This is gospel. Clear goals, clear plans. I don't care what sort of team you're on. I don't care if you're the captain of a sports team. I don't care if you're the lead singer in your band. I don't care if you manage a McDonald's or work at Best Buy. every team that you're on has to have clear goals and plans and priorities. And you cannot assume these priorities. They have to be spoken. They have to be written down, given deadlines to be measured against effectively. That way you can track progress. This is vital. I actually think like this also will lose the culture, because if you don't have a cultural fit, you're not going to have the same plans and goals, right? But set common goals with clear metrics of success. That's vital. Number two, they have strong leadership. A successful team is usually led by an individual who was trusted and respected by his members. Such leaders unify members towards the same direction by providing focus and guidance. They also offer encouragement and motivation to keep the team with high morale, even in the midst of challenges. The best leaders even help team members achieve their individual goals and realize their potential. I swear to you guys, I just said this, and I'm being real with you. I didn't really read this article. Like, I read it. I seen some of the topics, but I didn't really go through a line by line because I wanted to discuss it with you or discuss it with myself, right? Whatever. But leadership is key. Now, we were talking about the different hierarchies of teams, right? We were talking about, I'll go back on the screen for a second. So we were talking about managers with employees, you know, a talent with support, or maybe partners aligning with each other. All those sorts of teams have to have leadership, right? You have to have leadership. It is vital, because without leadership, there is no one to steady the ship when it needs to be steadied. Then Kyrie Irving said they don't need a coach. That was obviously wrong, right? Every team needs a coach. Jordan never lost in the finals, and he needed a coach. In fact, before he got Phil Jackson, although Jordan had some very legendary playoff performances, he did not win any championships, right? So the right coach, even with the best player of all time, can have huge, huge implications. So every team needs a coach. Now, who that coach is, how it's appointed, and what roles or responsibilities they have, there could be nuances with that. Each team is going to be composed differently, but you have to be able to align a leader. And that team has to support and trust that leader. I'm not in the locker room, but my understanding is that Michael Jordan trusted Phil Jackson. Kobe trusted Phil Jackson, right? They won championships. Kyrie Irving did not trust Steve Nash. There's a lot of other reasons why that scenario didn't work, but just putting it out there, he did not trust them. You have to trust your leader to empower them. And the leader has to be trustworthy and empowerable. Okay? And I know I phrase that in a weird way, but you need to understand what I'm saying exactly. If you have a leader of the team, you have to establish confidence in them so that leader can establish confidence in you. And that's how you feed off each other. And it's not kissing the leader's ass, right? The emperor has no clothes sort of shit. It's not like that. It could just be expressing confidence in their abilities or expressing confidence in them based on the relationship that you have. Because every person, when they are confident, are at their best. Every single person. It's like that when we're kids. It's like that when we're adults. When someone loses their confidence, they lose their energy and their spirit power, right? Their ability to implement their will in the universe if they are not confident. But if they are confident, everything is at maximum efficiency. So you definitely want to empower your leader. But that leader, being wise, should know that he has to empower the people around him or her. And if they don't, they're not getting the best out of their team. All right, let's go back. The article's kind of fire. Share screen. Here we go. Back at it. Members fulfill their own tasks and also help one another. Since members are deeply committed to the team's success, they make sure to follow through with the team's plan by accomplishing their individual tasks excellently on time and trusting that their teammates will do the same. However, should a teammate encounter difficulties with their share of the load, members will willingly lend a helping hand. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're truly committed to the team's success, you are going to hold yourself accountable to accomplish your individual tasks and fulfill your responsibilities. And if you take it really serious, you will do it with the spirit of excellence. And this is where I personally have I've gotten caught up on building teams, right? Like, I've gotten people to do things, but I haven't gotten them to do things where they wanted to be the best at it, right? And the teams that didn't work. The spirit of excellence. And they also have to trust that their teammates are going to do the same, right? That's huge. For anybody that's ever played defensive line, right? Anyone that's ever played defensive line, you have to trust that the other linemen with you are going to do their job. That's for the entire defense, to be real with you. But I know with D-line, when it comes to that interior lineman and working with each other and working with their edge rushers, man, you have to trust that they're going to hold and they're going to do their job. And if a stunt is called, he's going to be where he needs to be in order for the play to work. You understand? In basketball, there are no look passes. There are situations where a play is ran, and even though it may not be physically seen yet, the team trusts and knows where people are going to be, and they're able to facilitate and communicate in the manner that's going to allow them to score, and sometimes in grand fashion. We've seen that, you know, since we talked about the Patriots, but we're talking about the Bucs now. We've seen that with Tom Brady or any great quarterback throwing timing routes, right? Throwing the ball where someone's going to be before they gets there, but trusting that they're going to do their job. That's what a great team has to show. And if I can't trust for you to do what you say that you're going to do in the spirit of excellence, why would I have you on my team? Why? It makes no sense. That's just real. Let's even take it into the household, right? You have a spouse, a wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever, right? You guys are a team. When things have to get done, you have to be able to trust that you're going to get things done. If you have another spouse that pays the bills, right? Because some relationships, right? They both may work, but one person is the checkbook holder. You have to trust that checkbook holder that they're going to pay the bills on time like they say they will. And they're not going to do dumb shit with it. You're going to do what you say you're going to do. We could be a great team. If you're in a relationship with someone and they can't do or follow up with the things that they say they're going to do, how can you trust them? Yo, I told you to do A, B, and C. I told you to pay this bill. Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. And they keep forgetting. How you know they're actually going to do it? This is a loose example. You know, I always make sure my shit is handled. But I'm just saying, you have to be able to trust your teammates to for them to do what they're going to do. Right? That's just real. That's just real. And if you can't do that, you can't. They can't be trusted, bro. So, oh man, we spent gospel today. We're going back. I'm back to this article. We ain't done. All right. Members communicate openly with the team. In a successful team, members feel like that their ideas and input matter, so they are not afraid to express their own thoughts and opinions, even if these conflict with what has been presented. In fact, diverse opinions are welcomed and seen as opportunities to stir creativity and generate fresh ideas. At the same time, members listen to what other members have to say because they believe in the ability, character, and integrity of their teammates. The culture of trust allows their members to share knowledge, build in each other's ideas, collaborate, and experiment. I'm coming back on the screen. I literally just said you have to trust each other. Right? Trust that you're going to do what you said you're going to do in a way that it needs to be done or to the best of your possible ability. And if you cannot bring your best self to this objective, I don't want you on my team. I've had some people that are very talented in many different lenses. But if you don't have the same work ethic, the same will, the same ambition, I can't have you on my team because that's not how I work. Anyone that's a doer is going to feel that way. We just seen LeBron say it frustrates him when other people on his team don't want to win as much as him. He doesn't want them on his team if they don't want to win as much as he does. That's facts. And that's one of the things that makes him him. His drive, his ambition, the man hours that he put in to be who he is. Not to say that he's not gifted, but he's absolutely had to work hard. That passion, that drive, the way Kobe worked, right? You would hear Kobe trash people all the time because they didn't practice enough. They didn't try hard enough. So he couldn't trust them. But if he saw people put work in, he trusted them. That's how it works. And sometimes that level of intensity will say a lot about your team. I'm just being real, man. At the same time, it's not just trusting them. You believe in their character and their integrity and their ability to do the job, right? I have some people around me like that, where I have an idea, something I want to accomplish. I'll call them up. I'll be like, yo, bro, this is what's going on. This is what I'm trying to do. And they know me. And we don't always agree, but they give me feedback and perspective that I don't have. And it always comes from a space of love. And I trust them for that. Like, yo, bro, tell me what I need. Yo, tell me something different. This is how I see it. And we go, and we'll talk it out. And listen, we may not always agree, but because we share cultural alignment, we share energy alignment, there's similar goals and similar objectives, we're all working towards the same thing. That's how it should be, man. And people are not afraid to express their own thoughts, man. This is real. I've had real life examples of like being in meetings, like head of the company or somebody introduced like a terrible idea. And no one says anything. You're probably looking at me like, yo, why don't you say something? I'm like, listen, man. Being black and bearded to corporate is another thing. We got to talk about that. Sometimes I ain't the appropriate messenger. But I digress. Excuse me. Yeah, man, I didn't see it. I'm pretty sure if you look at any story where a company made bad decisions like Enron or something like that, or even some of these companies that get in trouble for opening bad accounts. I don't want to put no names at any banks out there. I'm pretty sure some of these ideas were set in the room and not everybody agreed with the person in charge. But that person in charge had yes men and women and a culture set up to enable them. Tough going, man. It's tough going. Great teams don't have to deal with that. Great teams don't have to deal with that. All right, let's go back to this article, man. Y'all gonna appreciate me. Shit like this is jewelry. Yeah, y'all gonna appreciate me, bro. For real, excuse me. Yeah, I guess. What? All right. This one is huge. Members resolve conflict constructively. So having disagreements within a team is inevitable. However, in an effective team, members will try to resolve issues in a constructive manner by doing the following. Speaking to one another calmly in a non-threatening tone. Allowing the other person to speak without being interrupted. Practicing active listening to understand where the other person is coming from. Focusing on the facts rather than attacking the person's character. Respecting each other's viewpoints. Yo, I've literally been on each side of this, right? Speaking to one calmly in a non-threatening tone, I didn't see niggas argue over craziness, right? The people around me know exactly who I'm talking about in some of these scenarios, right? It didn't happen backstage. One time, my cousin snatched the mic from a hype man because he thought he was messing up. Like, so you know, it was just a lot going on, bro. It was a lot going on. But you got to speak calmly in a non-threatening tone because, again, man, not everyone responds well to aggression, and some people match energy. And all that's going to do is just raise the level of intensity and won't be productive, right? So when it comes time to disagree, remain calm. Allowing a person to speak without being interrupted. That's another one. I've experienced like niggas cutting each other off, right? And sometimes these situations are funny. And listen, when there's a bunch of alpha males in the room, and everyone's trying to win, energy runs high. But for clear communication and also respect for all parties, you gotta allow each other to speak, man. And I hate getting cut off, so I do my best not to cut people off. Active listening. Some people listen to respond, not to comprehend. And that is so destructive and annoying, right? Some people just listen to rebuttal and they're not understanding the spirit of the words that you're saying. They're keying on certain things and forming opinion of it, maybe even possibly before the other party finishes speaking. This is highly destructive. This is not good for any relationship, by the way, right? Like, I'll keep it a buck. I'm arguing with my girl and she's not listening to me, but she's just really trying to refute everything I say. Not only am I going to get angry, right? The conversation won't be productive. And I'm pretty sure it wouldn't work vice versa. You know? So, focusing on facts rather than attacking each person's character. I done seen disagreements and hey, this should happen to personal shit being brought up, right? Like these are things that people go through, man. I'm pretty sure any group or any organization dealt with that. I hear stories about the Wu when I heard about them arguing, and I never would imagine that. But apparently niggas have shot at each other and all that. Like that shit crazy, right? So disagreements occur. It happens. It doesn't make you a bad team. It just makes you human. And again, on the other side of the disagreement with that resolution may be jewelry. Maybe jewelry. I'm just being real with you. Last bullet we're going to go to in this article. FNXmusic.com is coming, by the way. We're going to start the rapidy rap shit real soon. Promise you, I'm excited. But anyway, we're talking about team building. Members feel they directly contribute to the company's success. When there are multiple teams in the company, each team may be too focused on their own goals that they lose sight of the bigger picture, the company's overall goals. However, members of an effective team feel that their work is important and that their team directly contributes to the overall success of the company. That's real. They have to feel valued. People have to feel valued in order to give their best efforts. If their contribution does not seem like it's being considered or respected, or they're not being heard, they're not going to give you their best. That's why it's important for you as a leader to listen to your team. That's just how relationships work. And there are so many aspects to leadership that I've learned along the way. I also have a master's of organizational leadership, just putting that out there. And the very first step of any change management is setting the foundation for why. a lot of the times when people disagree and we're talking about changes and how things should be developed, they disconnect on the why and what it means. You got to get that together. The why will be the foundation for the what, the where, and the how, and then the when. But why do we do this? I'll give you an example. The FNX Foundation, we know that 1 in 6 children in the state of Connecticut are food insecure. We're well aware of it. Some of us have been personally impacted by it. Some of us are just empathic to that dynamic of food insecurity. We also know that 1 in 6 is an average. So in affluent communities, that number is lower. And then low to moderate income communities, that number is way higher. So we raise awareness for it. We raise awareness, we raise money, we raise resources, and we give it away. And I once had someone say to me, like, yo, why you spend so much time focusing on the community? Why are you doing this? Should be trying to get shows, blah, 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 blah. He was chasing the rock star lifestyle, right? But I had to communicate to him that how we embrace the community, how we uplift it, how we give to it, it's just a matter of who we are, and that's just what we're going to do. Because that's who I am. That's the culture of the FNX Foundation. That's the culture of the organizations that I have built and that I'm going to continue to build. And I would not be an effective leader if I did not check that or hold that as true as possible. So if you want to be a leader, these are the things that you have to do. You know? Yeah, they asked me that. Yo, why are you doing this community service shit? And then, and I swear to God, right? God rest his soul, right? Nipsey Hussle, when he started to become more notarized for the things he was doing, and then it became popular for people to get involved in community, do A, B, and C, that same individual was like, oh yeah, we should do that now. He's trying to do popular shit. Like, no, bro. Never met Nipsey Hussle. Don't know anyone that knows him. But I can tell you that the mission that he was on because he believed it. In its purpose, in its why. And the people that were around him also believed in the why. Any community builder has that same focus where they establish a why. And people follow them for it. And that leads to the when, why, how, and what. Maybe not in that order. And that's real. And for anyone that wants to know why I view the world like this, because I've been through some things too, and I know it hurts. That's it. I'm human. I'm empathic. I care. As much as I act like I don't, I do. That's why we put the work in. And that's why I'm here talking to you. It's important, man. Build that team. Keep that culture tight. Align in your purpose. You got to ask your team, do you guys want to be good or great? That's real. And if you guys are not aligned on being great or not aligned on being good, you will not perform, period. And you're only as good as your weakest link. Man, I'm dropping jewelry, man. And listen, not all the stuff I own, but to be real with you, there is nothing new under the sun. Everything in this cosmic library is our resource to use, and we don't own it. We're just conduits for it. So this energy that I'm bringing to you tonight is not mine. I'm just a manifestation of its conducivity, right? There are many different conduits and avatars for the spirit of giving and the spirit of building. Well, this is the FNX one. This is what we're doing. And this is the universal frequency. I hope you enjoy the pod, man. I really am. I'm excited. I'm excited about the music that's going to come. I'm excited about the events. I got I got a lot in store, right? But before we get to the rapid rat shit, I just really wanted to make sure that this platform develops and grows the way it needs to be, because we're not going anywhere. We're going to talk about the universe and how to become a better you, and what are those nuances and how it affects us all individually for as long as possible. You seen the ambulance chase, man. There's some podcasters that just look for low vibrational shit and then react to it to get low vibrational points and clicks. I don't make fast food, right? I don't do that. Here we're growing. Here we building. Universal frequency.
Energy, frequency, vibration. Energy, frequency, vibration. Energy, frequency, vibration. Go and look at destiny now. Why are you waiting? Energy, frequency, vibe. Energy, frequency, vibe.